So this morning I want to ask the question, what's the big deal about believers' baptism? You know, as Baptists, we believe in believers' baptism. And basically all that that means is that we believe you should first become a Christian, a believer, before you are baptized. And because of that, it's pretty simple. We don't baptize babies, although we may baptize young children. I mean, we've baptized people as young as 9. I can think of little Sarah Hewson, who was about 9 when she realized that she needed Jesus as her savior and was able to very clearly tell us that she had asked Jesus to be her savior, and we were very happy to baptize her. So we're just looking for somebody who is able to communicate the fact that they have put their faith and trust in Jesus. That's what believers' baptism is all about. So what's the big deal about it? Why? What about believers' baptism is so significant? I did prepare a pamphlet. If you didn't get one, you can grab one as you leave. The notes are also on the group. First of all, it's an outward symbol of an inward action. That's what it really is. That's the symbol of baptism. The most natural explanation for the illustration of baptism we have in the Bible, friends, because every occasion of baptism in the Bible is an occasion of somebody who was baptized after they believed in Jesus. And it is really the symbol of something that has happened internally that they're wanting to express externally. So when you become a Christian, what you do is you not only accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you identify with him as well. So that's why we believe in believers' baptism, because it's that process of identifying with Jesus. Let me show you how that happens. You'll know that we baptize in this pond in the front of the church here. If you've never seen it before, you can come have a look at it after the service. So the symbol of baptism, friends, is this. As you go into the water, you are dying to your old life. When you are in the water, you are buried and dead to your old life. Then when you come out of the water, you are alive to new life. And friends, that's how we identify with the most important event in the Christian calendar, the Easter story, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So that's why believers' baptism, it's that symbol of what has happened to us internally, that you want to show to the world externally what has happened to you internally. Secondly, what makes it important is it's a public confession of faith. A lot of people become Christians maybe on their own, maybe they're reading the Bible, maybe they're sitting with a family member, and the family member tells them about Jesus, and they say, I want to become a Christian, and they pray a prayer with their family member. Even when you come to church, it's kind of a private thing. You walk to the front of the church and you ask God to forgive you and you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and then you go and sit down. Yesterday, we rejoiced, friends, because many of you all know that there was some evangelism training happening in the church here. And afterwards, they went out into the highways and the byways in the circle where Queen Elizabeth is down there. And was it not Elizabeth? Victoria, isn't it? Queen Victoria down in the middle there. And they preached and they shared the gospel, and 6 people became Christians, friends. Amen. Thank you. But you see, we didn't see what was happening there. So that's why we have baptism. Because even although those people made a commitment to follow Jesus, this, friends, is the way those people have an opportunity to say to the rest of the world, I've accepted Jesus in my life. So it's a public confession of an internal reality. Baptism, friends, and belief went hand in hand. In the early days when the Apostle Paul preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent, believe, and be baptized. The repenting and the believing was in the heart of the person. The baptism was in the heart of the community. Friends, do you realize that when people were baptized in the early church, some of them were crucified because they were baptized? That was the history of the early church. You see, baptism is so common these days that we don't think too much about it. But the foundation of baptism, friends, is that when you publicly declared that Jesus was your Lord, you were shaking the fist in the face of the government of that day. Because you see, the government of that day was the Romans. And the Romans believed that the head of Rome, Caesar, was God. And you had to declare, Caesar is Lord. But when you were baptized, you would say, Jesus is Lord. It was in direct conflict to the Roman government. That's why the public confession of faith is so important. Thirdly, it's a commitment to be part of the church. Repent, believe, and then do your own thing. You don't need a church. You can just live at home. You can just do nothing. You know, who needs a church? Friend, I don't know about you, but the reality is we need each other to grow. It's the way, friends, that we are committed to each other. When we get baptized, we are saying, I identify with you. The lovely illustration I found in preparing this message was from John Piper. He said this, it's like a ring. When you have a married ceremony, now I don't wear a ring because I don't wear any jewelry of any sorts, not for any reason, I just don't like to wear it. We have to wear glasses all the time. That's enough for me. But generally, when you get married, you put on a ring. Does the ring make you married? It doesn't, does it? But the ring is a symbol of what's happened in your heart. I don't wear a ring on my finger, but there's a ring around my heart, friends, that tells me I'm married. That's what baptism is. Baptism is the ring. It's the thing that identifies us with the rest of the congregation. Fourthly, when one is baptized, it's the first step in what I've called assurance of faith, of salvation. Jesus says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, then baptize them. Friends, it's not, do a whole lot of things, whatever you want. In the words of Jesus, friends, it's the first step of commitment. It's the first step of spiritual assurance. Repentance, belief, baptism. Now, we're very good at preaching about repentance and belief. Let me say out front, friends, baptism doesn't save you. That's not what makes you a Christian. Repenting and belief is what makes you a Christian, but baptism is that which shows your commitment. Listen to a few verses. Peter preaches in the book of Acts, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They were all tied up together, friends. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." There are two interpretations to that particular verse. Some believe it's talking about physical birth and spiritual birth. Others believe it's talking about baptism and spiritual birth. But on the other occasion, Jesus says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Then he makes it very clear that it's the belief, it's the lack of belief that makes you condemned. But friends, he says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. He, Jesus, is saying this is an important thing that you need to do. So it's the first step of commitment. Number five, it's a way to be obedient to the command of Christ. Friends, Jesus wants us to be baptized. It's the very first command he gave us. And surely we want to obey Jesus. Number eight, it's an occasion for a joyous celebration. Friends, Jesus wants us to celebrate with the world around us what has happened in our hearts. Number seven, it's a way to preach without saying a word. You see, when people come to witness a baptism, when they come to see what's happening there, and the person goes into the water, and then is in the water, and then comes out of the water, they wonder, what's happening? Why is this person being drowned in this church? They ask questions. What's that all about? And we're able to say to them, what we are doing is doing what Jesus did for us. We are dying to our sin. We are burying our sin and our past, and we are rising to a new life. We are preaching, friends. It's a physical preaching to the world around us of what Jesus has done for us. Finally, friends, I know I've skipped over the last few very quickly, because I wanted to spend a little bit of time on the last one. It's this simple thing, friends. It's a way to follow the example of Jesus. Friend, of all the things I've spoken about today, when you become a Christian, you become a follower of Christ. That's what a Christian is. In the early church, when people became Christians, the first thing they were called is they were called people of the way, because they were following the way that Jesus was leading them. Then later on, they were called Christians, because people started saying to themselves, these people who are following the way look a lot like Jesus who was here. So the world, friends, the early world, the early people when Christianity first started, they saw those who were following Jesus, friends. They saw in them an example of who Jesus was. That was the primary thing, friends. And who of us doesn't want to follow the example of Jesus? Surely that's what you want. Surely you want to follow Jesus and what he did? Surely you want to be more and more like Jesus? We sang about it right near the start of the service. The second song that we sang was, "Above all, Lord, we want to be like you." That's our heart's desire. That was our prayer when we started the service. We want to be more like Jesus. That was our prayer. Friends, Jesus was baptized. Did Jesus need to be baptized? No, friends, he didn't need to be baptized. Jesus hadn't committed any sin. He didn't need to confess his sin before others. He didn't need to, you know, kind of use baptism as he was going to go through the eternal baptism of dying and being buried and rising again. He was going to do that at a later stage. But before he did anything in his ministry, he went to look for John. John, who was his cousin. And he looked for John. He probably walked about 30 or 40 kilometers to find John. And he went to John. And when John saw him, he said, "No, I can't baptize you." And Jesus said, "You need to baptize me." Jesus went into the water. When he came out of the water, friends, the Word, the Trinity revealed themselves. Yah was the Son on earth being obedient. There was a picture of a dove coming from heaven, which is the symbol of the Holy Spirit coming to rest upon Jesus. And there is a voice in heaven saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." I don't think he spoke in King James English, but that's fine. Whatever he said, friends, the people there knew that God had spoken and said, "This is Jesus." So why was Jesus baptized? Friend, because he was setting us an example. He was telling us, if you want to follow me, yes, step number one, be baptized. Show the world around you that you're willing, friends, to be different. Because when you are baptized, the world takes notice. I'll give you an example. I'm going to use Patricia as an example. I'll owe her a chocolate later on. Patricia grew up in a home that didn't believe in believer's baptism. So when she decided to be baptized, her parents would say to her, "Oh, just look, you've been baptized, but you are doing this." Because friends, the minute you are baptized, people start looking at you differently. They start expecting different from you. They wanting you to, in identifying with Jesus, to be more like him. Friend, Billy Graham has a saying, and he says this: "The Bible said it, I believe it, that settles it." Now I feel the same is true about Jesus' example. Jesus gave me an example, I following it, that settles it for me. What about you? You interested in being baptized? Friend, I could give you another dozen reasons why it is important. But the most important one of all is, do you want to be more like Jesus? Let's pray.